Chapter 19. Marcia sits on the toilet, rifling through her plunder. This is not a woman's room, a men's room, or a gender-neutral room. Even the most exhausted traveler could never call it a restroom, either. It's an outhouse in the sky for every human orifice on board that needs evacuation. But at least she can hide here. First things first, off comes that ridiculous rain hat. Next up, the flight attendant's pocketbook. She stuffs the bills in her bra and throws the bag and the rest of its contents down the trash receptacle with the contaminated paper towels. Okay, let's see what that impudent dog catcher carries in his little dob kit. Bang, bang, bang. Who the fuck would dare interrupt her private time? I'm in here, she hollers out with indignation, accidentally telling the truth for the first time that day. I want my bag back, she hears in a voice that sounds much too authoritarian and male for her liking. I don't have your goddamn bag, she shouts back as she stares right at it, sitting in plain sight on the sink. Marcia hears a click in the lock on the bathroom door. What is this guy doing? You can't pick a lock on an airplane. Click, 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 click. I'm coming in, he teases in a comically threatening voice. Halt, she commands in her most high and mighty tone as she clamps shut her own natural-born fissures in a righteous moment of self-protection. But he refuses to retreat. Click, click, click. She can see the bolt on the door jiggling. The indoor light blinks on and off. She tries to hide the bag, but where? It's too big to fit in the trash chute, and there are no other secret places inside an airplane lavatory. Just as she leans up against the door to protect herself, the lock flies back, and he pushes his way inside and pins her against the right-hand wall. She struggles out of his grasp, accidentally ripping off the Band-Aid on her dog bite cut while trying to balance herself first on the toilet, and then on the other wall, but she keeps hitting the flush button again and again, and even though the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh suction sound of the toilet is loud, it still doesn't drown out his snarl. That is my bag. I'm sorry, I must have picked up the wrong one, she feebly argues, checking out her exposed cut that has scabbed much more quickly than she had hoped. He pulls her by the wrist away from the sink and shoves her down to a seated position on the toilet in front of him. Liar, he says with a smirk. She likes the way he says that word. Liar. Yes, she is, and she wishes she could shout that fact from the rooftops of every nation in this whole wide world. The name Lester is rather clumsily stitched on his jacket below the no-muzzle patch she noticed earlier. His olive-green work pants are worn and thick and fit snugly. They give off the oddly pleasing smell of gasoline, vintage naugahyde, and the challenged fresh air of a beach resort after a restaurant fire. Okay, it's a look. She'll give him that. One that Daryl could never pull off, no matter how hard he tried. She's now directly facing his pelvic area, which showcases through the rugged material a package that is both self-assured and, well, respectful, even courteous. She is not used to being confronted by a male organ that seems both domineering and friendly, possibly aroused but willing to listen, ready to spring to action yet not easily intimidated by her feminine wiles. Liar, he says again in a slower drawl, making direct eye contact before opening his stolen bag to reveal dog whistles, bite sticks, and pepper spray. That's my stuff, she brazenly states, knowing he won't believe her, but praying he will call her that word again. Liar mouth, he says with a missing tooth grin. Liar mouth, that's even better. Say it again, she begs him inside her head. He does, only this time he pauses teasingly between syllables. Liar mouth, he whispers, daring her dishonesty to rise up from her throat again. How can one word, even one made up from two separate words put together, melt away her lifetime of carnal caution, she wonders silently. Who cares? Say it again, she pleads, this time out loud. Liar mouth, he growls more aggressively and with no pause. I swear to God it's not your bag, she perjures herself, proud to be daring to risk eternal damnation, yet shocked to sound seductive while doing so. Liar mouth, he says again and then again and again and again, building in intensity and volume until the whole coach section on the other side of the door must overhear that magic word. Knowing her next oath must be the ultimate Lulu, she shouts, "I swear on my mother's grave." But this time, he doesn't say it. "Tell the truth," he suddenly orders in a roughly sexual voice, unlike any she's ever heard. She freezes. "Just one time, tell me the truth," he demands, as he rips off his dog catcher baseball hat and slips it on her head. It fits. Before she can refuse this unfathomable command, he bends down and kisses her on the mouth, hard. Marcia can feel it inside their mouths, his tongue of truth serum mixing with her dental decay of deception. Finally, the aural lubrication of an abrupt change in sexual desire flows through her. His flexing pink tissue, asking what's never been asked of her, triggering her own pink tissue down below to sense the new stirrings of sexual curiosity. The only thing she doesn't feel is him stealing her ID and cash right out of her bra with a non-touch of a complete pro. Well, not her cash, exactly. First it was Marcia's victims, and then it was Marcia's, and now it's not.